All right, well, you got us for the next 2.5 hours, or basically as long as it took Yerry Rodriguez to work his way through the Baltimore Orioles in that one inning. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. 4:30, we will jump into a phone booth, change into our Superman clothes, and
I wake up with mine on, Jeff, so you know.
And we'll be joined by Kevin Kiermaier and Jason Stark on Blair and Barker.
Nice.
And J.J. Cooper will be along and tell you everything you need to know about the Blue Jays prospects, about the players they acquired at the trade deadline yesterday. The trade deadline has come and gone, and, well, as Ross Atkins said last night in his media availability, this is kind of the first step towards contending for 2025, 2026. Let's go to John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays.
Which I think was necessary, and still has plenty of power, as we've seen. So I thought, you know, the first two really impressive, works a walk and tough strikeout, but I thought his at-bats were really good this series.
With Mike Hamtree, is Berger a guy who can get an extended run at third base?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he can be there, you know, with, I wouldn't say extended, you know, I think he can be there. Vladdy can be over there some, and along with Ernie. So, I wouldn't call it extended, but he'll definitely have a few more opportunities.
John, was Dalton cramping up? Or?
Yeah, just kind of a little lightheaded, a little dizzy. Same with Burr when we went out there on the mound. It was smoking out there, so... Just didn't want Dalton feeling dizzy in the box or running around in center field.
And you guys got a look at Jackson Holliday today. I know it's not a look you probably enjoyed, but what were your impressions of him?
Yeah, he's good. You know, we saw him in spring. I think he had a couple homers off us in spring too. I know it hasn't started exactly how he wanted, but you know he's number one prospect for a reason. It's what you do with a hanging breaking ball. You know, so it was an impressive swing.
John, some of the additions now. How do you look at internal competition you have right now, and what benefits do you hope to perhaps derive from that?
Well, I think for one, you know, you want to see some guys play, but you also want to make sure that, we're doing things the right way, you know. And I think you watch George play today, you watch Vladdy play today, they're all going about the right way. So that's first and foremost. And I think you want to just put guys in spots where they can hopefully have some success. And some guys, not everyone, but some guys are going to get a little bit more, runway than others. And you kind of want to just see what they're all about, not just the swing, the throw, the pitch, whatever it is. It's, how they're doing with the day-to-day, how they're doing, with the group and all that kind of stuff.
Well, what do you think? We're kind of running in the walks, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one run game. You know, you get a quick out and then the walks and hit by pitch and then the home run. So, tough, it swung pretty, dramatically there. You know, when you're giving up five in the fifth, it's a tough way to climb back into it. You know, I thought Espino did a nice job kind of keeping us right there. He was really grinding and kind of throwing the kitchen sink at him, and just tough fifth inning.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that was John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. I didn't even get a chance to throw out any more one-liners, take shots at anybody,
no.
Or
nobody
drop
asked
a punt
about
or anything.
Nobody asked.
Hang on. You got to tell people. It was a 10-4 loss to the Orioles. Jays are 49-59. Got to do some business here. The Jays have tomorrow off, and then they're in the Bronx for three games against the Yankees, who have looked awfully good against the Phillies. The highlights, and we will get to your calls at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Stop wiggling in the chair, Barker. It's annoying. the highlights from the Blue Jays' point of view. Addison Barger, a first-pitch home run. Second home run in three games for Addison Barger. 95-96 mile-an-hour fastball driven over the right field wall. That's really the only highlight for the Blue Jays.
No.
He did contribute a double.
Springer had
well.
A couple of hits.
Springer
had an RBI.
There
were some things that happened.
Yeah, they lost 10-4, so there were some things that happened. Mostly it was bad.
You got to get used to poking at some positivity.
My Orioles. Boy, they had it going on. Jackson Holliday, you heard John Schneider asked about that. His first career home run, a grand slam.
Terrible pitch.
What?
It's a terrible pitch.
Yeah, Yerry Rodriguez had quite the inning. Got an out, walk, hit by pitch. And Westberg left the game, and then Jackson Holliday hit a home run, And then James McCann followed up with a double. And that was pretty much the end of it. The Jays, to their credit, kind of pecked away after, Paolo Espino didn't have a great deal. But the Jays kind of pecked away and kept it close. Got to within a run until that eruption in that inning pretty much ended it for the Blue Jays. Surprise, no questions about Joey Loperfido making his first start after being acquired at the trade deadline. The first player to join the Blue Jays who was acquired at the deadline. Most of those players, are going to be at Triple A or down in the minors. And I think we can expect to see Jonathan Class A up here at some point. I think we'll probably see Blas up here at some point as well. I would think Will Wagner may come up here. But right now, Loperfido is the guy who is up here. He was with the Houston Astros. I joked to you first inning. I said, well, he'll fit right in.
You're on a roll today.
I was on today. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did eventually get a single. I mean, I know that you did a lot of video.
A lot stronger.
Yeah, okay. You took a look at him on video, and of course you saw him today. What do you think about
him? Yeah, he looks like Kyle Tucker. Now, I'm not saying he's going to turn out to be Kyle Tucker as an offensive player, but what he does with his lower half, the way he lands with his front foot, he cuts himself off. When you do that, you have to be on point with your top hand. Top hand allows you to have great extension when you're cutting yourself off of your lower half. That's why you're going to see him hit more line drives the other way on the ball away and a little bit down than the ball up, the ball in, that ball that goes down and in. Like, that's going to, be one of those times. And I said this when I watch video, and I cracked a joke about this is up to the coaching staff to sort of iron this out. John's doing his part, Schneider, the manager, by putting him in the two hole and trying to get him more fastballs because that creature that's standing on the on deck circle. And, some of these dudes are, trying to win games and be really good on the mound. And they're trying to sort of keep what's going on around Vladdy. So if they do give up something against Vladdy, it's not going to hurt them. So, it's real early to make a bold statement about what you're seeing. But they're, again, you can look at video. You can look at just his approach today. You can look at how they're trying to get him out. And you can look at what he does with his lower half. There's a reason why nobody does that. I mean, there's two people, the leadoff hitter for the Astros and that dude plays right, are the only two that I know that step that way, because you have to be on point with your lower half. If you're not, you're going to cut the ball off. You're going to miss a bunch of pitches you shouldn't be missing. So, only time will tell. I mean, you can tell he's got talent. He can play the outfield. He can run routes the way he's supposed to. He's got a decent enough arm to hit the cutoff guy. They're going to give him every opportunity to turn out to be what they want him to turn out to be.
All right, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go to the back leg line, 416-413-3959. I have no idea why I threw out the live numbers for Blue Jays talk. 416-413. Been a busy day. 3959.
Worn out.
And the text line is 590-590. Standard text and data rates apply. Do we have Addison Barger? Let's go to Addison Barger.
That was a good opportunity to really hone down on some things. So it's been widening stance, trying to make everything more simple, kind of get in a position where I can launch from anywhere, anytime.
Still as much effort, still max effort everything, or have you had to adjust that anytime?
No, I don't really feel like I'm ever max effort. Okay. Like, I know it appears that way, and I hear it all the time, believe me. But I think that's maybe the adrenaline. And,
same deal.
Yeah.
What do you feel, you mentioned some of the goals, like what do you feel that's doing for you right now in terms of at the plate, the adjustments?
I think it's allowing me to see the pitch longer, make better decisions, and I'm just staying in there longer. Kind of with the bigger moves, I would step in the bucket a little more and kind of fly open and roll over ground balls and stuff instead of staying through it and in there.
On Monday, you got the first career home on the second today. When you start getting some positive reinforcement for the adjustments, what does that do for you?
It gives me a lot more confidence to stick with the plan, through the good and the bad, believe in the work I'm doing and have confidence in it.
KF and Kiermaier getting traded, I mean, that kind of opens up some decent amount of playing time. What do you make of that opportunity, and how do you kind of take advantage of that?
I think I just go out every day and do my best and, show them what I can do.
Cool. Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate
no problem.
That.
Thanks.
There you go. That is Addison Barger. And Kevin, look, with the trade deadline having passed and with, you know, just going through the players that were traded at the deadline, IKF, Kevin Kiermaier, Trevor Richards, Justin Turner, Yusei Kikuchi, Danny Jansen, Nate Pearson, Jimmy Garcia, with those moves that were made, guys like Addison Barger and Davis Schneider and, you know, I think Joey Loperfido as well, but certainly I think the two guys who are going to be most under the microscope are Schneider and Barger. Just because I would think, you know, the old story, you trade for a guy, I think Joey Loperfido is probably here next year. Spencer Horwitz, I think we've answered the Spencer Horwitz question, although I don't know what to think about John Schneider saying we're going to see some of Vladdy at third base.
Yeah, I know if I was Vladdy, I'd say pay me.
Yeah, I would say, dude, if you want me to pay third,
play third, pay me.
Yeah. But
that's me.
I'm not Vladdy. I just don't have any idea.
Vladdy's too good of a kid.
Yeah, anyhow. But as I said, I think we know about Spencer Horwitz. I think we're on the same page with Ernie Clement. And clearly the organization needs another catcher. But, you know, Addison Barger, Leo Jimenez, Stuart Baroa, Davis Schneider, those are guys that could all vie for a bench spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Year.
That's a lot. Like, I think there's
well,
a couple.
Well, no, I'm
there's
saying
a couple
they're
going to
vie
dudes.
For a couple of them. A couple of those guys
Barger,
are going to make it.
I would think Davis Schneider, I mean, unless he starts slugging lefties, that's sort of his calling card, continuing to be a big leaguer. You can't slug around 370 against lefties. I mean, you're going to have to get it down and get it singing. To that side of the, you know, when the dude's standing on the mound, he's left hand, you got to hammer those guys. I mean, with Barger, he's strong enough. He's got plenty of bat speed. It's the timing of what you don't swing at. And the urgency of making the adjustment, these dudes know it. I've been in the same boat these dudes been in, where your team stinks and there's opportunity. And the quicker I make it, the more I can make an impression on whoever's running that team. And they go, wow, that dude's left-handed with tons of power and can hit velocity. And if I widen out a little bit and I don't have as much effort in my leg kick where it just looks like I'm, like he just said, stepping in a bucket and trying to take big daddy hacks all the time, just gives me a chance to stay on top of a 99 middle away and hit a double down the left field line. Good for him. That's exactly what they want. That's what the doctor ordered. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of them dudes. I'm not going to say all them dudes. And John said it right. Not all them dudes are going to get playing time. A couple of them are. Barger's one of them guys just because he's left-handed. He's got lots of power, and they ain't gotten too many of them. And they got some heavy lifting, Jeff, in the offseason to do. Yeah. And if this dude can show up and show them something with that tiny little adjustment he made, with the way he can play decent defense. Now, would I love to see them stick him in one spot on the defensive side and leave his – you know what there? That would be nice.
Can I ask you this?
But that ain't going to happen.
No, of course not, because versatility is important.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a way of keeping costs down.
There you go.
Where would you stick him? Would you let him have a run at third base?
Can you win a World Series him playing third?
Can you win a World Series?
I want to use his arm to the fullest. That would scream right field.
Okay.
Now, it has shown you that whenever they give George a couple of days off, like they DH'd him a couple of days in a row, look how quick his bat looked today.
Yes.
Look how much better he looked running around the bases. He's going to be a part of this next year, right?
Yeah, there's no choice.
So there you go. So I know I'm okay with that, but they got to be careful about how they use him, how much they use him, right? And when they do use him, it's after they've DH'd him a couple of days. It's that kind of thing, right? You want to get him off to a hot start. So if you put Barger in right field, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to use what he does to the fullest. And do I think that he can play third on an everyday basis and help an older rotation get through some bumps in the road start of the next season? If the answer to that is yes, or you got to think about it, and me, I got to think about it. So I don't think the third baseman's here. That's me.
Yeah. No.
I like Ernie off the bench.
I'm with you. You know, to me, the two positions, first of all, they've got to get a middle of the order bat.
Maybe two.
Oh, and one of those, it'd be great if one of those played third base. And then wherever the other middle of the order bat plays, you put him in there. They also, quite frankly, need, and Ross Atkins talked about this yesterday in his media availability. We were going to play some clips from it on Blair and Barker. He also admitted that at the trade deadline, they did have conversations with teams about catchers. And now, I looked at the free agent list of catchers,
they need a game eater. That's what they need behind the dish.
And there's a whole bunch of James McCanns out there.
There's a Diaz, Elias Diaz. That's a good one from the Rockies.
Elias Diaz,
Danny Chance. I think that ship sailed.
I do too, but I think what I am more interested in is I was looking at teams that have some catching depth in the minor league system, teams that may be using a young guy may call up a young guy and may make a veteran available. You know, and there are teams like the Padres. The Orioles, they've got a catcher. They got to figure out what to do with him. He's clearly not going to replace Adley Rutschman. The Dodgers have got a couple of minor league catchers.
Now you got assets, right, that you can trade for one of them
guys.
So
that's kind of what I'm, what I would be looking at. Or I get the impression that's what Ross Atkins is looking for. And, of course, pitching is always going to be a concern. Mm-hmm. That kind of brings me to today's game. Look, I mean, I think Chris LaRue hit the nail on the head, as he was wrapping up the broadcast. Spino and Yuri Rodriguez, they're not part of the future. They're not part of next week. So, although maybe Yuri Rodriguez, who knows? But my point is the Jays are also going to have to find some arms for the bullpen. And one of my big concerns sometimes, we look at relievers and go, hell, relievers, what the hell? They're cheap. You can find them anywhere. Trust me, there's nothing worse than a team playing out the stretch that is bringing a dude in from the bullpen that gives up five runs in a bat around inning. Like that just kills you. That kills, if you've got a team full of young guys or a team full of guys trying to earn a spot, bad relief pitching on a bad team, it's like a death by a thousand
Jays
cuts.
Jays need eighth and ninth inning guys that cost you. They got a bunch of sixth and seventh inning guys. I mean, they're oozing out the pores of sixth and seventh inning guys. It's the eighth and ninth inning guys they don't have. And Jordan Romano, you know what you're going to get from him next year? Will he be here? That's another question. So that's going to cost you, the eighth and ninth inning guys. I'm with you. It's, the Burrs and the Pops of the world, they got something to pitch for. Like, Burr's got decent stuff. I mean, he attacks with the fastball. He got a little natural cut to his ball, too. Get a lefty out doing that. Mm-hmm. That slider, like, it actually breaks. Don't throw an 0-2 fastball.
This is a big opportunity for Zach Pop.
Somebody's got to say, do something. Figure out the sinker. It ain't sinking. Like, the runner ain't good. Like, that thing ain't going to keep you in the big leagues. Figure out how to get it to sinking. That's why Petey's forced him to throw cutters. He ain't a cutter guy. Figures that out, he'll have a chance.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. Paul in Oakville reached out to us.
Is Atkins done? Clearly, one trade deadline and one draft doesn't solve almost 10 years of challenges. Is he done, or was his apologies and part of the news conference yesterday speaking like there's another year of going through this in 2025? As a longtime Jays fan, I certainly hope not.
Yeah, Paul, I'd be honest here. I have no idea. We know that Mark Shapiro is talking to the media on August 7th, I believe. He has not spoken to the media as a group.
I would think that'd have to be the first question. Nope.
Yeah. Well, I know Shai Davidi in his article today mentioned that, look, there have been rumors throughout the year that Ross Atkins wouldn't make it through the year. There have also been rumors that Ross Atkins may end up being reassigned within the organization. Whatever that means. Does that mean that James Click becomes a GM? Does that mean that Mark Shapiro essentially, pardon me, runs out the year as GM and then they go out in the offseason and bring somebody else in? Key to all this is to remember that Mark Shapiro's contract expires at the end of next year. Ross Atkins' contract runs for another year. Very handy if you're Mark Shapiro to have your contract end before the GMs, because it does suggest that you would want to sit down with ownership and talk about an extension.
Yeah.
But I don't, at this point, I don't know. And all I can say, Paul, is I'd be willing to bet that 99.9% of the fans have already made their mind up on Ross Atkins. And that, short of going out and trading for Aaron Judge and Juan Soto at the trade deadline, their opinions aren't going to change.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how many people apologize when they still have a job. I mean, normally you apologize when you've gotten fired and, sorry, I didn't do a good job, and I'll see you guys later. He sure sounded to me like maybe.
Well, here's the second time. It's the second time he said it.
Well, he did it on our show, too, when he came on. He apologized then, too. So it's not like it's the first time.
And I mean, I don't think, I'll tell you this, I really don't think Ross Atkins is doing handsprings around the Rogers Center happy as all get up.
I wouldn't think so.
I really don't. So, I mean, if it makes you feel better that a GM comes out and says, hey, I'm sorry, all right.
It doesn't to me either.
It doesn't to me.
Two off seasons in a row, you still don't have a cleanup hitter. You still don't have one. Are you going to get one or not?
And I mean, this is competitive sports, man. And if you're not good enough, you don't win. And apologizing doesn't do a damn thing. I don't know. Did it make you feel better to have Ross Atkins apologize? I don't know. Did it? Were you surprised by it? But further to Paul's question, Paul, I just don't know. I do know that August 7th news conference with Mark Shapiro, news conference or media, I don't even think it's a news conference. I think it's just a media gathering. Let's be clear. The spotlight is on Mark Shapiro now. This is about, can this front office, the rest of the year is about, it's about all that stuff. Do you find some relievers and what is Joey Loperfido, et cetera, all that great stuff. But the fact of the matter is, the rest of this year is about, do you get Vladdy signed? Are you, and do you restructure the front office? And Mark Shapiro is the guy that is going to have to take the lead in that. Make no mistake, Ross Atkins, spotlight's off Ross now. Spotlight is squarely in Mark Shapiro from this point on, at least the way I see it. Mm-hmm. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. We're going to step away and come back. Our TV friends will join us. It's Blair and Barker. Actually, it's Blue Jays talk, and it's soon to be Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, welcome to our friends along the Sportsnet Television Network. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. This isn't Blair and Barker. It is Blair and Barker, but it's on Blue Jays Talk. Blair and Barker starts at 4:30. Goes till 6. So this is still Blue Jays Talk. And we are poking through the embers of a 10-4 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays have tomorrow off, and they've got a weekend series in the Bronx. They are 49-59, 0-2 after the trade deadline. Throw that out there. Yesterday, of course, the trade deadline dominating most of the news around Major League Baseball yesterday and indeed today. If you want to talk about that, 590-590 is a text line. Standard text and message rates or standard data and message rates apply. You can call us at 416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. And we will get your texts up and get to your calls as well. As the Blue Jays 10-4 losers, Joey Loperfido made his Blue Jays debut, got a single. Jackson Holliday hit his first home run in the majors onto Utah Street, a grand slam off of
killing people taking Gary pictures Rodriguez. Of that.
Of the little thing. Yeah, people do that all the time. The little marking they made. Yeah, I think
you'd run
cool.
over and take a picture of that.
I mean, I don't know if I'd run, but there's people standing there. If the ball lands,
what would you do with it once you take a picture of it?
I don't know. Do you take a picture of statues? I mean, do you take a picture of
it? Statues, different.
I mean, I don't know.
I just thought I'd ask. I heard of people.
At the time, I didn't. Well, there's a bunch of people standing there. That's the whole thing.
I think it's who hit it, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't. Did I think it was odd that, we got two camera shots of it? No, I thought it was kind of cool.
You did?
Yeah.
I just asking.
People, God just forbid, asking. People should have fun.
That's fun.
Well, I mean,
come over, Jim. Take a picture. Look at me pointing at it.
I don't understand this. People having fun and you're down on
That's
it.
That's fun. I didn't see people having fun. It. I just saw people snapping photos.
Let's go to the text line. And, of course, people want to talk about, if you want to talk about today's game as well as the trade deadline, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure most of you probably want to talk about the trade deadline. I know that Bob from the Muskokas did. if we can get Bob. What do you think the team would be willing to pay Vladdy for a long-term contract? Conversely, what do you think Vladdy would be willing to accept? Well, let's just throw some parameters out there. I think we can agree this is not going to be a three-year contract. We're looking 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Mm-hmm. The biggest contract for free agent right, or sorry, for first baseman right now is Bryce Harper, 13 years, $330 million. Second is Chris Bryant, 7 years, $182 million. Third is Matt Olson, 8 years, $168 million. Now, that Matt Olson is 27. Bryce Harper's in a different category. Let's just throw that. Bryce Harper out there.
No.
If I'm Vladdy, I am asking to be close to the highest paid first baseman in the game, even though I know I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to undersell myself. If I'm Vladdy, I'm going out and my starting price is 300. The bigger question all along has been, what are the Jays going to pay him? I think. And, you know, there's a big fall off between 330 and 182 in terms of annual average value. Mm-hmm. The biggest contract is Freddie Freeman at $27 million a year. So I'm guessing if I'm Vladdy, I want probably
25 a year.
25, 26 a year for 10 years. Or 8 years.
Yeah.
9. I mean, asking for 10 years, but realistically. So quickly do the math. Let's say 25. So you're looking at someplace around $200 million, $210 million if you're Vladdy. Now, do I do that if I'm the Blue Jays?
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Right now, I do because, you know, people are going to say, Jeff, a month ago, you didn't want to do it. Well, that's actually not true. A couple of months ago, I needed to see some separation between Bo and Vladdy because I just don't think this organization, I don't think it ever had a chance of getting both of them signed. And I think we've seen that separation now in that everything you hear suggests that Bo would be less disappointed moving on as a free agent than Vladdy would be, I guess is how
well
I would
said.
Put it. Yep. They're both free agents after next year. So the Jays do not have to, I mean, they don't have to do anything if they want. They can bring him back next year. What I think you do, just me, what I think you do is you get Vladdy signed at some point this year and hold a news conference. And you do it upright. And you show your fans. Because, see, I don't think fans question ownership's commitment anymore. Ownership gave these guys $235 million. Mm-hmm. Ownership went to the luxury tax.
They're doing their part. Yep.
They've given these dudes a great stonking whack of money. Mm. They haven't spent it well, but they've given them money. So I don't think that it's necessarily that the fans don't believe that ownership is committed to this. If someone feels that way, then they're just idiotic. But I think signing Vladdy sends a message to your hardcore fans. And from a baseball point of view, yeah, a big free agent is going to cost $25 to $30 million a year to come here anyhow.
Good players cost money.
Yeah, and absolutely. I'd rather give it to Vladdy, know that I got my number three hitter locked up. I mean, the guy plays every day. Yeah, they DH him. They play him at third base. I don't want to talk about that, but the guy plays every day for the most part. You know, all that stuff about, oh, Vladdy's too fat and they're not going to find it. But yeah, garbage. That's way gone.
Yep.
I just don't think that Vladdy at $20 to $25 million a year is ever going to be a crap contract. He didn't have a great year last year. What did he hit last year?
24.95.
I'm willing to pay $25 million for that.
It's the going rate.
Exactly.
For a first baseman that does what he does at his age.
So that to me is the question. If you're looking at a dollar value, Bryce Harper, the top end at 330. Freddie Freeman gets the most per season at $27 million a year. So let's say Vladdy, I'm sure Vladdy wants something in that neighborhood. I think Barker's right. Let's go $25 million over
7 or 8.
7 or 8 years.
To give him another chance to have one more deal.
You give him a chance. At his age, he's going to have a chance.
No question.
He's going to have a chance to sign another free agent contract. Trevor in Toronto reached out in the back leg line. Trevor.
Hi, this is Trevor from Toronto. My question for you is, do you think Vladdy could be an everyday third baseman for the Blue Jays next season? That way, the Blue Jays could move Horwitz to first base full-time and spend a little less money on a second baseman opposed to a third baseman.
Wow. After just sitting here and railing against the Jays, playing Vladdy at third.
Now, next year, going into next year, you're saying that if they paid him, if they pay him, he can play wherever they want to play.
Okay, this is the caller's point. If you could get that middle of the order thumper, and I'm not talking about Justin Turner, I'm talking about a legit middle of the order bat, but that guy was only going to be first base slash DH.
Christian Walker.
Would you move Vladdy to third?
Yeah, if I got...
talking a legit guy. We're not talking...
Christian Walker.
Somebody, yeah.
Who can play first, who can play third. You can flip-flop the two.
Right.
You pay Vladdy. Once you give him a deal, you can play him wherever you want to play him. Yeah, if it helps your team win a baseball game. It helps you get a free agent here that can play first and thump and protect Vladdy, no question.
See, the way I look at it...
But they go hand in hand.
But the way I look at it is this as well, to be quite honest.
Not moving him to third for Horwitz.
Well, no. Horwitz is my second baseman. Let's not get funky with him. He's a left-hand hitting second baseman who can hit at the top of the order. Fine, let's leave him there. I want him to be my opening day second baseman next year. Let's fill in elsewhere. The concern I would have is that after just talking about how important it was that Vladdy stay healthy. Vladdy has stayed healthy playing first base and DHing. That has worked out. I don't know if I want to screw around with that. I look at this team. And yeah, I think it depends where you can get that middle of the order bat. Maybe the middle of the order bat comes in a trade or a free agency and it's a third baseman. And then you don't have to worry about it. That's my one concern. Vladdy has answered all sorts of questions about his ability to play in the field and stay on the field every day as a first baseman. Do I want to screw with that?
Yeah, for me, it starts with Vladdy.
It's worked out.
If I'm Vladdy, I'm not playing third unless they pay me.
Yeah,
I'm an all-star first baseman. First baseman.
Yeah, no, without question.
Now, you give me something that starts with a two and some years, play wherever you want me to play.
It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. Back leg line is 416-413-3959. 590-590 is a text line standard. I got to make sure I get this read right, damn it. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Well, it's on your screen.
My screen, but my screen, this thing is kind of up and down. It's very weird. It's like there's a gremlin in it. I don't know. Maybe I think the khakis are hacking into the.
They could be
hacking into the laptop.
You got some serious secrets in that thing that they need.
You know what I'm going to write? Learn to hit a freaking fastball.
That'd be the place you'd start.
There you go. I sent that in.
So that's the one thing you noticed today when you watched the who they faced. It's just the inability for a plethora of dudes that walk to the plate who have issues at just hitting that good old number one. Boy, we can't overthink that.
Grayson Rodriguez is awfully good.
He's pretty good, but he left a lot of balls right down the middle.
Yeah, he did.
And 98 shouldn't surprise anybody anymore.
Nope.
Not when I played. When I played, that was a 98. Now it's like, that's it.
I saw that in Legion balls.
Yeah.
Sean in Calgary reached out to us in the text line. Is the Jays offense bad because of Don Mattingly or because Don Mattingly has his hands tied behind his back by Atkins?
Yeah, I'm going to say not the second part. This is what I think.
Yeah, we there's talked no about
way,
this. Just, I
there's
don't,
no I, way you can answer this. There's I, no way no, I can answer this. No.
I don't because we
so don't
know.
Try.
Okay.
The only thing we know that their offense stinks.
Yeah. And he is the offensive coordinator.
But what does that mean?
Well,
but they have
never been able to figure that
out.
Don't
they have four hitting coaches under him or three? We can't answer. I'm not in the room. I only know what I know, and I know that I see a lineup consistently has a big time issue of hitting the fastball.
You know, I wonder last night, one of the things Ross Atkins said last night, And we're going to play some of the clips from his media availability. Because it wasn't a live news conference, it was a news conference, it wasn't Kerry live. He talked about, there's nothing worse than going through notes from a Ross Atkins interview. He talked about, well, I'm serious. He talked about something about offensive environment with the team. And
just trying to tell you he's got a bunch of dudes in the live can't hit.
Curtis in Tabor, Alberta. He left us a note in the back leg line.
I'm with Kevin. Watch what they're doing, not what they're saying. To be realistic here, yesterday, the last couple of days, the Blue Jays traded 8 players that at the beginning of the year they thought would help them compete for a World Series title. Most of them on the opening roster, some of them with control. They basically got peanuts for them. Supposedly they replenished their minor league system as if that was the problem. That is a giant part of the problem. Mm-hmm. But still, the problem is the construction of the roster. If a third of your roster you think is going to win got you what it got yesterday, you need to get another job.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
It is.
It's hard to argue with that. You basically did trade a third of your roster and you got a bunch of minor leaguers. But here's the thing. That was also a philosophical bent by the Blue Jays, right? For example, could they have traded IKF for a major league reliever? Probably. Somebody would have given them. I'm sure Pittsburgh would have said, here, take our 26th guy.
Like that guy they got, though, from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but my point is, I'm sure, I mean, quite frankly, if you went to the Astros and said, yeah, we really don't want those prospects, give us one of your back-end bull, or give us one of your depth arms, they'd go, okay.
Yep.
So that was a philosophical thing in the part of the Blue Jays. I'm not surprised that they did it. And again, I'm always skeptical about prospects. To me, they're minor leaguers. To me, you've got 2 or 3 guys in your minor league system are prospects. The rest of the guys are minor leaguers. Nowadays, it's like a participation prize. 30th guy in the minor league organization is a prospect. Hey, no, he's not. He's a guy who's got 29 guys better than him, at least the way that I look at it. But this is what they had to do. They had to get... They weren't going to go out and trade for the new trade for a Teoscar Hernandez. They had to try to find the new Teoscar Hernandez, like they did back when they traded Francisco Liriano for him. That's it. That's what these guys are. But the caller makes a point. These were all guys that were supposed to get you to the playoffs, and they're guys you brought in. Right? You brought IKF in. You brought Kiermaier back. You brought Turner in. Jansen was already here. He's one of your guys. Pearson was already here. But that's a good point.
Yeah.
And that's what you got.
Some of those are final pieces. They weren't pieces that were you should be banking on to take you to a World Series. I think that's the caller's point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The roster, no doubt, and Ross said this yesterday, needs to get better. Like, just me against you is just ain't good enough. I've said this to you many times. How many times has John written out the lineup and went, yeah, we just more talented, like the Orioles.
Yeah.
And when Hyde's writing that lineup out, boy, he's thinking, man, good luck getting through the gauntlet of them lefties.
Let's just play.
Stay hot.
Let's play a completely unfair game here. Today's Jays lineup. Who in this lineup starts for the Orioles?
Vladdy?
That's it. Anybody else? Maybe Springer? No, I take Santander.
No, Santander.
Kouser.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, really. Vladdy. Okay, healthy Bo Bichette. Does he start in this team?
Not the Bo that was doing, no.
Well, he's not going to be
the
shortstop.
Not over that shortstop.
Third base, maybe. Well, Westberg's pretty good.
Driving in runs.
Holiday's a second baseman. I'm just throwing this out there that when you get down to it, this was the best team in your division today without Adley Rutschman. This was the best team in your division today without its superstar catcher. I think we call him a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the Jays team. That's a big, big difference
Huge.
In terms of lineup. And you know what? You can add Kiermaier to that. You can add Turner to that. You can add IKF to that. None of them. None of them are starting for the Orioles.
None of that changes.
None of it changes.
You think about that going into the offseason, what they were banking on, and, oh, man.
And these guys, you know, were led to believe that there are minor leaguers down there who might be better than some of the guys.
Some of the time it ain't rocket science.
Like Cedric Mullins isn't going to be back next year. Anthony Santander is a free agent. Boy, oh boy.
Boy, if I'm telling you something, Jeff, I would back up the Brinks truck and just say, here's a check.
Yeah.
You can imagine that dude hitting third? Because Vladdy be hitting second for me. Third? Oh, boy.
Let's go to the go back to the text line. Sarah in Brantford. Why does Vladdy still not know how to set up properly at first?
Yes,
I've noticed the last few games he sets up one way and the ball's coming in a total different direction. I got a first baseman here.
Yeah, I've lately, because he's raking, I think he's just the opposite of that. Last year I used to yell and scream about the bag's never been bigger. You should never not catch the ball in the air. That thing would have to bounce 17 feet in front of you because bag's never been bigger. You get closer to the throw than you've ever gotten closer to it. Me, looks like footwork's gotten better. Like he's more direct now, sometimes occasionally because of who's throwing it. Young guys throw it in a hurry, overthrow it. Ball
like
runs a lot. Like
Leo Jimenez,
he'll stretch one way, ball ends up the other way. That's getting used to who's throwing. I'm not making excuses for him, but that's facts. I've been there. Like, I've been over there with young dudes who are trying to impress, and they don't lollipop it over there. They'll throw it as hard as they can throw it, and it runs, and it's all over the place. Game speeds up at the big league level. That's why you see Vladdy sometimes that way. But the actual foot on bag is in the right spot. That, I think, is all the only thing you should care about. He is maximizing how far the stretch is. That's the only thing you should care about. Like, if it's the third, he's on the corner stretching towards the third baseman. Now, again, that ball, say, that's hit to Horowitz, he has to run to his right. He's on his, you know, running and throwing it across his body, which he never does and has never done and is trying to learn it at the big league level. That, I think, is to your point when you see Vladdy with his stretch. But the actual foot on bag, dude's raking. I've been telling Jeff this forever. It's amazing how good a defense they play when they are getting it down and getting it singing.
It is remarkable.
Oh, it's amazing.
Go to the back leg line. I like what Barry in Toronto had a question for us.
Don't you think Vladdy's going to wait to see what Juan Soto signs for? And then he's going to say, I want Soto money. Anyway, love you guys. Keep up the great work.
I mean, I
different positions. Juan Soto is
tooth fairies.
Juan Soto is a free agent this year. You know, I've got to think.
He's a realist.
He's a smart
guy.
Look,
I've talked to his agent, too. His agent's a pretty smart guy.
Vladdy won his arbitration hearing and is making 19 and change. So that's
even another thing.
No, but my point is
Core, and they
that's what his agent thought he was worth this year. So that's a starting point.
Yeah, the Jays didn't Vladdy think that.
But they weren't that far away, right?
They were far enough.
That you're missing the point. My point is that's how much the industry says he's worth.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be hard if you're paying Vladdy that after last year and he has a year like this. We should be able to come to an approximation as to what he is worth this year, then multiply it by 8, and then figure out whatever the hell you want to do. You want to backload it?
And
you want to throw bonuses
in? I think
the
most important part of this is he wants to be here. He wants to actually be a Blue Jay, which is a big deal. And I would think that would help getting free agents in here that matter.
I would just say that you put 10 baseball people – 10 baseball people in the room, they're still going to probably pick Juan Soto. Juan Soto's going to be a different guy. Juan Soto's already making enough money that his next contract is built on a good contract. And Barker's right. He's a left-handed hitter.
It helps a lot. Like that, the numbers, I think, are skewed sometimes. And again, realistically, sometimes I think we just ask too much from Vladdy. A couple of years ago, he had 30.
Yeah, this is a fun text from Andrew in Newmarket. I want to get to this. This is from Andrew Newmarket. How many of the players from the trades will make the roster in 2025? It's impossible to answer, Andrew, so of course we're going to do it.
One.
Well, Bloss.
I don't think he's making it.
Class A.
I don't think he's making it.
2025?
That's next year. That's rolling into the off. That's in spring training, rolling into this. I don't think it's. I mean, I know what Ross said, but.
I don't think they have any choice but to have him make it. I think Ross, Bloss, I should say, Class A, and, you know, I think Wagner's going to get a chance to make it because of his age.
If we're talking making serious runs at this thing with the people that are already here trying to impress, yeah, good luck trying to run this thing back. That's called last place, Jeff. Well, you can look at me all you want.
No, I'm just saying.
It's a fact. That's called last place. So you want to roll all these in here?
We're talking about making.
I mean, you see what Bloss did with the Astros? I mean, he's a work in progress.
He's talking about making the roster.
He's a location 23-year-old.
Yeah, we're talking about making the roster. We're not talking about going to the All-Star game. There's a chance they're going to need another outfielder next year.
I'm not saying not coming to the big leagues, but making the roster out of spring training, man.
No, I think,
that's a big difference.
I think Class A will. I don't think there's any doubt about that he'll make the roster. Absolutely. I mean, again, we've talked about, well, you're not going to get all these guys in free agency or trades, Kevin. You're not. You're not going to be able to do it.
Well, one of the middle-order bats better play the outfield. So there's eliminating one of those.
Well, we just finished saying that one of the middle-of-the-order bats could play third base
or
first base.
No, you said that. I said Christian Walker.
Well, he's not going to play the outfield.
That's what I said. They want to make a serious run at this and contend.
Parker thinks nobody makes the roster next year.
No, that's not what I said.
I said you need
two middle of the order bats, and they ain't one
Parker
of them named
Clause. Think anybody, Bark, just for the record, Parker doesn't think anybody they acquired this year at the trade deadline will make the team.
If you like last place, call them all up.
Yeah. Barker thinks I'm that available. The only that none of these guys are good enough to make a last place team.
I can spread out.
Very good.
Give myself a chance.
That is it. You're so dead. That's it for us. Blair and Barker is next. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Kingston. That's where I was born. And Napanee, that's Avril Lavigne's hometown. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.